Well, years since we've been here, but we just pray and trust that the Lord will bless His Word tonight. I believe that if the Holy Spirit will anoint something, it'll be something worthwhile, and so we trust in the Lord to help us in that way. I want to turn to 2 Chronicles 30 and 26. I feel like the Lord has just burned this upon my heart, even for here. And so I want to share a few thoughts tonight, starting in 2 Chronicles 30 and 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. You know, I was thinking tonight about how much we desire for God to hear our prayers. How much we desire for the Lord to answer our prayers, and how dependent we are upon the Lord. And you know, Hezekiah was the king here, and this was the time of his reign. And the Bible tells us quite a bit about the life of Hezekiah. And I want to look just a little bit tonight about what it tells us here. We remember Hezekiah, this is not the only time the Lord heard his prayer. But I think about the time when there was a king that came up from Assyria named Sennacherib that came up against Hezekiah. And he had a great army. And you know, he brought that before God and brought that before the Lord. And you know, he woke up one morning and there was 185,000 people that an angel had just went through and killed of the enemy that had come against him. And the Lord had answered his prayer in a marvelous way. And you know, even today, we take courage from that. But you know, the Lord worked in Hezekiah's life. There was a time when he came and the prophet came to Hezekiah, he said, "You've got 15 years to live." And that's not the exact words, but Hezekiah knew his time was up. But you know, he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. And God heard his prayer again. And he sent the prophet back and he said, "I'm going to add 15." I'm sorry, the prophet didn't say you have 15 years. He told him he was going to die. And so the Lord sent the prophet back and said, "You'll have 15 more years." You know, I look at those kind of times and I want the Lord to answer my prayers when I cry to Him. Saints, I want the Lord to hear our prayers. Folks, all of us here, we're in desperate need for God to hear our prayers. You know, if the Lord will hear our prayers, you know, we don't have to fear when the enemy comes against us, and he's way more powerful than we are. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you know what the Lord will do? He'll lift up a standard against him. He'll do that for us. I think about the scripture over in James, and it talks about Elijah, that he was a man of like passions as we are. He was a man like we are, the Bible tells us. And yet he prayed, and it didn't rain upon the earth. I believe it was 3 years and 6 months because he prayed that way. And you know, it goes on to tell us that the Bible hears, that the Lord hears our prayer as well. He says here, I'll just start here in 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, the Lord wants to hear our prayers today, and He puts some stipulations on it. He didn't just say everybody that prays, it's going to avail a lot. He said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I want to take some heed to the scripture tonight. He goes on to say Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was not some special being sent from heaven that God just heard his prayer above anybody else's. The Bible's telling us something here today. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You know, I believe the Lord wants to be real in our lives. He wants to fight our battles. He wants to be there for us when we have needs. And I found it to be so. And I know many of us here have found that. When we trust and put our trust in God and we live for Him, He fights our battles and He answers prayers many times. I believe that all that is contained in the Scripture, the Lord wants to do for His people today. But I want to look back, because the Bible told us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when we look back at Hezekiah's life in 2 Chronicles 29 and starting at verse 1, it says here, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. You know, Hezekiah began right off to do some things when he became king of Israel. He started right from the start. I'm going to set things in order. He began to open the house of the door, the doors of the house of the Lord. If we drop on down in verse 6, it says, "For our fathers have trespassed." His father was Ahaz. Ahaz was a wicked man, but Hezekiah had a heart to follow after the things of God. I want to encourage us tonight. It don't matter where we've come from. If we set our heart to seek the Lord looks to us. It goes on to say, "Our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us." You know, I think about the situation here, and he said, "Our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this." We look around us in a world that has rejected the Lord today, and we see people in chains, bound everywhere. You know, it's getting to the point that it seems to me like the world just isn't so glamorous as it was at one time. Because the sin has abounded to the point that you see the devastation everywhere. All over you see people bound in all kinds of chains. You see people, young folks, don't think it can't happen to you. I want to tell you something. You forsake the Lord and you serve the enemy of your soul, He'll bind you. And He'll bring you into places you never dreamed He would. Addictions, all kinds of binding powers of the enemy. I thought about the scripture that says men's hearts would be failing them for fear and for those things, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. You know, I know we think of that as great things happening in governments and terrible things happening. But you know what else is happening all around us? Our hearts fear, do they not? When we see a young person that doesn't take the way of the Lord, and we see them begin to go in the way of the enemy, You know what? You see shortly after that many times drugs and all kinds of things. Pornography begins to bind and addict people to the point they can't seem to get loose. And so when we see that, we recognize there's some binding powers out there. And Hezekiah said, our fathers have forsaken the Lord. And he said, our sons and our daughters are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. You know anybody that has wrath upon them? You know anybody that's been taken bondage by the enemy? And the Lord, you see the wrath upon their life? Let's make a covenant today with the Lord. The Lord would like for us to come to Him and decide, I'm going to seek the God of my fathers. I'm going to seek the God that I know I ought to be seeking. I just want to encourage us tonight that we humble our hearts before the Lord and do as Hezekiah did. The first thing he did when he was able to make his own decisions was he began to set things in order. He began to throw the rubbish out and open the doors. You know, I just want to encourage us tonight to open the doors. Open the doors of our heart. Throw out the things of our life that we know God is displeased with. The things that we know He really doesn't like in our life. The things that we feel condemned with. Young folks, I want to tell you, if you start down a road and you start feeling a little condemnation, throw it out. Get rid of it. Because if you want the Lord to be the God of the Bible that we read about, if you want Him to answer your prayers, I've seen Him do it. A lot of us here have. He does that. Then live for Him as those that the prayer, the fervent and earnest prayer of a righteous man, God hears it. It avails much tonight. Just want to encourage us tonight that we allow God to work in our lives. In Ezra 7 is another place. Ezra 7 and 9. For upon the first day of the month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You know, the Lord was with this man. And the Lord, as he went back to do the work that he was sent to do, it says he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I wanted to look on over in verse 27. It says, and look at a little bit here of Ezra's life. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me from the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. You know, there was a group that returned with Ezra to Jerusalem, and they were going to rebuild the temple, I believe it was. But you know, the hand of the Lord was upon him. He had prepared his heart to seek God. I want to encourage us tonight, prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. We're never too old to do that. We're never too old to continue to do that. To continue to prepare the place that the Lord wants to dwell in. To continue to make sure we keep it clean. Keep the things out. Keep the lamp burning. See, things had went out during the time of Hezekiah's father. The lamp that was supposed to ever burn in the temple of God, never to go out, Never, not one time. It was a very serious thing, because that was the thing that the fire of the Lord had started. It was not supposed to ever go out. Saints, we're not supposed to ever let the fire go out in our heart. The Lord wants it to ever burn in the temple of God. Let's Hezekiah put these things back in place. So I just want to encourage us tonight. Put some things in place in our life. I was thinking about Isaiah 66. And this is a scripture I've quoted many, many times. Isaiah 66 and 1 and 2. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." You know, God's pretty big. If the earth is His footstool, He's just likening, that's how, He's just letting us know. You know, all of the earth and everything you can do, it isn't that big. "The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" Can we build something big enough and fine enough for God that it'll grab His attention? Can we do something? Can we build even works in our life? Can we do enough to get the attention of God? "All those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been." Whatever we see in this world, the Lord made all of that anyway. It's all His. The earth is so small in His sight, there isn't anything we could do to get the attention of God. But He says something here that I got a hold of some years back, and I return to it over and over again because I want the Lord's attention. Sometimes I need Him real bad. Sometimes we're in close places, aren't we? Sometimes we come to a very close, what am I going to do now? And we need someone a lot greater than we are. And He says here, "All those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." Folks, this is what we want to do. Open the doors of our heart. He says to those that are poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word, when they hear my word, it makes them, with all they have, "Lord, what can I do to put that into my life?" He said He would look to that kind of person. You know, I am so challenged to be that kind of person tonight. I want the Lord to hear me. And when I get in a close place, you know what I think of? You know what? If I'll get real humble, if I'll humble myself, if I'll throw out my ways, if I'll fall on my face before God, if I'll tarry before Him, you know what? I believe the Lord will look my way. Saints, we want the Lord to look our way. Folks, we need God real bad. When we turn our backs on God, young folks, I want to tell you something. I know you haven't been down the road real far, but some of us have been down a little farther. And when people turn their backs on God and they throw out the things of the Lord, it's not long until they fall into captivity. And they fall into many things grievous that we cry with them over. We don't turn them away, but we cry with them. And many times they don't feel like they can get loose. I want to tell you tonight, let's humble our hearts before God. Open the doors to the temple. Let the Lord come in. He's the King of glory. He wants to enter into our lives. But He won't do it if we don't throw out the rubbish, if we don't clean house, if we don't allow and serve the Lord in the way that will cause Him to look our way. You know, Hezekiah began to... I'm going to go back to 2 Chronicles 29 again. And starting at verse 20. "Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering. for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests and the sons of Aaron to offer them on the altar of the Lord. You know, Hezekiah began to just do all that he knew that God wanted him to do. He began to just set his life in a path that pleased God. You know, we can do that tonight. Not everybody follows that. If you look on over in 30 of 2 Chronicles, he sent posts out. He sent people out to gather the people in. Come on in, we're going to worship the Lord the way we're supposed to. And it says, verse 10, so the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. You ever had that kind of a reaction from people? Here you're trying. I remember I've heard Brother Marty preach about when he got saved. He just thought everybody was going to want this. But you know, it don't take long to find out everybody's not going to go that way. But we've got to have it settled in our hearts. I'm going to seek the Lord God. I'm going to humble my heart. I'm going to open the doors of the temple and let the Lord have His place in my life. I want to tell you, you're going to need your prayers answered one day. You're going to need to be able to call on God and Him hear you. And I know the Lord accepts repentance, but there's going to be a time that we're going to need help in a way that we may not be able to get it if we're bound up in chains somewhere. These people laughed them to scorn. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Oh, we thank the Lord tonight. There are those that will humble themselves. I want to look back in 29 again, starting at verse 29. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. You know what, folks? Nobody can force you to do this. It's impossible. Because if we're forced, it's not something God accepts. But if we in our hearts humble ourselves before God, oh Lord God, would you hear me tonight? Would you help me, Lord? Would you save me tonight? Lord, would you turn me around? Lord, will you just help me with my problem that I've got? You know, we want the Lord to do that. It says, as many as were of a free heart, they offered burnt offerings. They were just burned. They offered it freely to the Lord. They weren't going to eat of that or anything. It was just something given to God. Give it up to the Lord. Give the Lord the sacrifices that He wants in our life today. It's a worthy thing. Young folks, I want to encourage you. Give it to the Lord. Oh, don't slack back. Don't go halfway. Don't go half-hearted. This man, you see, when the enemy came up against him, you see, when he was in trouble, how God fought for him. I want to tell you, He is the same God today, and He does the same things. And when you get in trouble, you will find God fighting your battles for you in many, many ways. I thank God for that today. In the 36th verse, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. You know, the Lord had prepared the people. I just want to encourage us tonight. As we follow the Lord, you know what? The Lord will prepare the way before us. He'll work on the hearts around us. He'll work on our children's hearts. He'll work on our enemies' hearts. The Lord began to work with Hezekiah. He saw what he was doing, and God began to work in that. Over in 30 and 1, I want to read a little more here. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. And then they sent posts out again, inviting the people in verse 6. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel." You know what? God is calling still. Turn again. Turn again to this God. Turn your hearts again to Him fully, without any recourse, without any hesitation. Turn to the Lord. And He will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into His sanctuary. Oh, the Lord has promised great and precious promises to us, hasn't He? And over in verse 22 and 23, listen to what happened when the people began to turn their hearts to the Lord fully. And folks, I don't mean in any way to be preaching this negative as if we're not, because I know many of us are. But I just want to give you the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord gave this to us here at this place again, or here. In verse 22 it says, "And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, the Passover, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept 7 days with gladness." You know, the Passover was a week. And when it was done, these people had turned their hearts back to the Lord in such a way, they just kept it another week on top of that. You know, that was a blessing to me when I saw that. And when you read on down and you see, "And their prayer came up to His holy dwelling place, even unto heaven," it's no wonder. These people's hearts were turned back to the Lord. He'll do that for us too. I just want to encourage us today. You know, we don't live in the days of the temple. We don't live in the times that they lived in. We can't offer up 1,000 oxen or whatever. But I will tell you, the Lord has given us some instruction that He wants us to offer. In Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus said unto him, now this man came up to Jesus and he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" You know what Jesus said? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws, all the law and the prophets." You know what the Lord is wanting us to do today? He just wants us to love Him with all of our heart, and all of our soul, and all of our mind, and our strength. But what's that mean to us today? I was just thinking about, it's not real complicated, but it does take great sacrifice on our part. To love the Lord more than anything else, with all of our heart, you know what that means? Put Him first in our life. Put Him first. Put Him as the top love in our life, and everything else below that. Instead of pushing Him in, somehow I got to fit God into this thing. That's the wrong way. Let's turn back to where we love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind and strength. Yes. the top love, the top priority, the first desire. You know, we have priorities in our life. And many times I see people that want to serve God, but He's not the top priority. He's somewhere down the line. Their business is the top priority. Or their pleasure is the top priority. Or their retirement is the top priority. Or their something is the top priority. Maybe it's their family is the top priority. And I believe in family. I love my family. To me, it's the greatest gift God has given us. But you know, the Lord wants us to have Him in top priority in our life. Are we doing that today? Are we putting Him first place? Is His desire our first desire? Is to be in His service our first desire? Or do we go to service if we have time? I just want to encourage us tonight. These are the things that mean something to God, I believe. Hezekiah opened the doors of the temple. We have to open the doors of this temple, our heart. We have to open it wide to the Lord. Put Him first. Don't put Him second. Don't fit Him in somewhere in our life. His will above our will. You know, sometimes I've been around a lot of people, many of us have. But you know, you see, many times we have a desire. But a desire is not enough. Our will has to be second to His will. Lord, I really want to know what You want me to do in my life. I really want to know what You want me to do. I want to encourage us something tonight. When we see camp meetings going on, and I know we're all here, so that's a good thing. I'm preaching to people that's here. But you know, it's a good thing to be there. Be there. When we find not just here, let the Lord guide you in the places He wants you to go. But spend some time and let your desires go out to the Lord. I believe the Lord will begin to build in our life strength and faith. I believe that as our children see those priorities being right, it's going to affect them in a positive way. His will above our feelings. You know, many times our feelings. I've talked to a number of people, and if they could just get their feelings out of the way. But you know what the Lord is looking for today? Clean the rubbish out. Get rid of it. If we've got feelings about something, about somebody, about some happening, about some unforgiveness, get it out. Why should we not allow the Lord to work with us in a way that the God of heaven, our prayer comes up to Him, because He hears the prayer, the effectual, earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man. He hears that. And I believe when the hundreds of thousands come against us, I believe the Lord will hear those prayers. I believe the Lord wants to do that for us today. Just want to give us a few more scriptures here. In 1 Samuel 7 and 3, there was a young man named Samuel. It says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts..." You remember who this Samuel was? He came in the days of Eli, one of the high priests there. And Eli was a man that had not been obedient to the Lord. And it says that there was no open vision during that time. God wasn't being very open with people. He wasn't showing Himself to people very much, because there were things in their lives. There was things in the priest's lives. Eli's sons were terribly disobeying God and bringing reproach on the things of God. But Samuel was a young man that his mother promised the Lord, "If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And he was God's. He was God's property. He was consecrated to the Lord. And from a very young man, Samuel began to follow the ways of the Lord. Young folks, I want to tell you something. If you'll follow the ways of the Lord from the time you're a little tight, you will be far better off tonight. If you'll let yourself follow Him, let your desires go out after Him. You know who God began to speak to back there when He wanted to speak to Eli? He had to speak to Samuel. God wants to speak to us tonight. He wants to be real in our lives. And so Samuel followed the Lord through his life. We see so many places the Lord worked. And he says here, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods. Put away the strange gods. Put away the things that God's displeased with. And Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Many times today, we see people wanting to serve the Lord. They want to serve the Lord, but they also want to serve their flesh, or they want to serve the pleasures of this life, or they want to serve the retirement that's coming, or whatever it is. But Samuel told them here, he said, if you will put away the strange gods and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb. Aren't you glad? Weren't they glad there was somebody that the Lord would hearken to? And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they come under Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You know, when these people turned back their hearts and their enemy came after them, as the enemy will, you don't think the enemy won't come after you? Of course he will. But you know what the Lord did? He just thundered on them. He just thundered on them. Can you imagine a thunder so great that the enemy just couldn't do what they were going to do? And they set up a stone and they called it Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Folks, I want to tell you something. That was something in their hearts from then on that they had seen God work and nobody could take it away from them. The Lord wants to thunder on your problems today and my problems. The Lord wants to do some work that He can only do when we wholly turn our hearts to the Lord and serve Him only. Just want to encourage us tonight. Serve the Lord only. Over in 14, just a little on down there, and the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. The Lord wants to restore some things tonight. He wants to give us back some things the enemy has taken in our lives. The enemy's a thief. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Him by now, He'll take every good thing you have. Before long, you won't recognize your life for what the enemy has ravaged from you. But it says here that the cities which the Philistines, the enemy, had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. I believe the Lord wants to do that for us today. There's a scripture in 1 Chronicles. Part of that says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" I want to put that out to us tonight. The Lord wants to be that kind of God to us. I have found it to be so, fully to be so. And many have found that. I want to encourage us tonight, if we're in the place where we're not really in the place where we know that we ought to be with the Lord, let's move tonight. Who's willing to consecrate themselves to God? Who's willing to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to serve You. I want to serve You only. I'm going to make my priorities right. I'm going to cast out my will. I'm going to do away with the rubbish that's in the house of God. And I'm going to serve You only from this day forth." And I want to tell you, you talk about thundering on your enemies, deliverance. When we do it that way, our prayer comes up to the God of heaven.